Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Changing tracks just a little bit, joining us on the line this morning is health and performance educator, consultant and speaker Richard Sutton. Richard has just released a new book. He, of course, is known for the Stress Code. He also is no stranger to Chai FM. I would speak to him very, very often on earlier shows. He's just written a new book called Stress Proof, The Game Plan. Richard, good morning, and thanks for taking the time to speak to us. How are you?
Oh, fantastic. Thanks for having me on the show, and good morning to all the listeners.
So it's, you know, when we used to chat some time back, we spoke about the world that we lived in, the world that we live in then, and, of course, very stressful with lots going on in terms of technology, ignoring our own needs, ignoring some of the things that are fundamental to our health and our serenity. But since then, we've upped the game, haven't we?
Absolutely. I think that what we used to experience was stress in a sporadic context. It was very intermittent. It was something that passed. We would be stressed for a week or two, and it would pass, and we'd move forward and move on. But what we're seeing over the last year is this constant, relentless stress that really demands more of us. Instead of having a tactical approach to stress management, we actually are required to be much more strategic in how we approach it.
So it's not something we could just say, well, I'm kind of managing my stress, but it's not an active part of our consciousness. Now we need to be conscious about it.
I think we have to be conscious of it, because there's so many stresses that exist in the world that we live in. We've got employment insecurity. We've got the future of jobs are concerned at the moment. We're all experiencing a certain degree of detachment and loneliness. We know that there's economic downturn. Health insecurity is probably at the forefront of our mind all the time. So there's this compound effect of so many stresses that are really impacting us consciously or even on a subconscious level, and we're really all feeling it. So to answer your question, strategically, we have to have a plan, and the plan has to be multifactorial and almost phasic in terms of how we go about our days, in terms of becoming resilient and being able to adapt successfully. And that plan has to entail a change in mindset, a shift in our behaviors, an understanding and acknowledgement that stress can be shut off, and we have to participate in that process on a regular basis. And lastly, we have to really control our lifestyle, and this encompasses exercise and dietary choices and even nutritional supplements and environment.
Do you think it's important to identify what our stresses are? Because I sometimes think that the reason I ask the question is often when I talk to people, they might think that something is stressing them, but in fact it's something completely different. Is it important to do that in your stress management, or does it become less relevant if you are managing yourself better?
I think that's a great point, and I think you can't successfully manage if you're not identifying or measuring. So the first real point in successful stress management is identifying what is it that is stressing me, and how is it translating. So if it's a health insecurity, you worry about health of family members, health of colleagues, loved ones, community, we don't have a lot of control in terms of those outcomes, but we certainly can identify what's stressing us and compartmentalize it and kind of investigate or look into a way that we can manage ourselves within the context of the broader challenges. So I think that identification of what's stressing us is first and foremost, how it's affecting us, our families, our community, is second, and then a strategic model to addressing it.
How do we go about working out the best way for each of us to manage our stress, to put a plan in place?
So I think that we have to start with self-care. I think that the first step is, irrespective of what's stressing you, I think that we have to acknowledge that if we don't look after ourselves, we are limited in our capacity to look after others. And that is the ultimate plan, is that the more we can support and the more we can nurture the people around us and protect us and shield them from the challenges that we're confronted with, I think the more successful we'll be as a community, the more successful we'll be within a social context. So I think that we really have to start with that self-care element. But We also have to understand, and there's been so much research, and it's been incredible because there's been 70 years of research in terms of understanding this whole concept of stress and how it affects us and what causes it. And fundamentally, we've got employment insecurity and skills instability and financial pressures and rising poverty and health insecurity and growing inequality, and the list goes on and on and on. And those are the contributing forces. But if you have to break it down and you deconstruct it, it lends itself to one feeling, and that is a lack of control. You feel that you have no control in the decisions and in the aspects that shape and move your life and steer your life. So I think really it boils down to understanding the sense that we have this uncertainty, we have this lack of control, and if we're able to create certain confines and certain parameters and control the controllables, already that will create a depreciation in our experience of the external stresses.
So we control what we can, and then we need to look at everything else around us, because, as you said, there's a lot we can't control. When we hearing news, sadly, over the last couple of weeks or months, of people dying and people that shouldn't have succumbed but have succumbed to this virus, that just adds to our level of anxiety and stress, doesn't it? But there's really very little that we can do about in that regard.
So external factors, we are limited, as I think we can't change the circumstance that we're confronted with, but we can change the way we see it. So we have two options available to us. The first option is to look back and ask the question, why? Why is this happening to us? Why now? Principally, why me? So we have that as an option, which is very much a backward-looking type of scenario. And in that type of situation, we become an object that is acted upon by external forces that are beyond our control, and it lends itself to bitterness and resentment and anger and frustration. The other way of looking at it, or the different perspective, is that I accept and acknowledge that these are the circumstances. Many of them I cannot change, I cannot alter. I'm not dismissing or diminishing the impact that it's having on me, my family, and society, but I'm a subject who has control over the path and the destination of their life, and I'm choosing to look forward at the future as opposed to look back at the past, saying, what can I do in my life to improve my circumstances or improve my health or improve my well-being or emotional integrity, as opposed to reflecting back. So it's really about a decision, but the decision to look forward as opposed to look back is not an easy one. It's still going to take hard work, strength of character, willpower. It's not an easy road, but it does give us the opportunity to shape a new reality.
Oh, Richard, are you still there?
Yes.
All right, there we go. It does, absolutely. Does the... I mean, you've kind of become the stress guy, haven't you? This is your second book you've written on stress. You've done an immense amount of research in it. I found, having written my one book, Smile, Damn It, I'm under pressure to be happy. Are you under pressure not to feel stressed?
No. I think that's the one reality that exists, is that we're all feeling it in different ways. Some of us, it's high demands, long working hours. Other members of society are experiencing a lack of control, financial pressure. So we're all experiencing stress in different manifestations. So to answer your question, I do feel stress, and it's not the experience of stress, it's how one manages it. So I think there's an authenticity in the fact that there's an acknowledgement that you're not above the circumstances or beyond the circumstances, but you're in the trenches with everyone,
right.
Grappling as hard and going through the same amount of challenges, and with family members who are experiencing COVID at this point in time, to the financial challenges. So I think that it's something that I can completely relate
identify.
To.
Let's go through it, because you've said things like you spoke about self-care, you mentioned exercise, nutrition, and supplements, just being three of the things that you mentioned. Let's just break it down for listeners and say, well, here's a obviously it's in not in a great amount of detail because we don't have the time for it, but here's some basics to look at.
Yeah. Okay. So let me just start with the kind of management model. The first step is really mindset. The power of the mind is absolutely exceptional. If you view something in a positive context and you look forward and you understand that sometimes the stress you're experiencing is a vehicle for growth emotionally, physically, spiritually. It can really change circumstances and situations. And the primary reason for this is that when we view things in a positive context as opposed to reflect negatively on them, it generally changes our neurochemistry. We actually are more efficient in our dopaminergic system, which makes us more adaptable, more agile, much clearer, much more focused. And we can actually alter our neurochemistry by the way we think and the way we behave to circumstances. The second piece is to avoid what we're all doing right now, and that is becoming much more insular and disconnected from each other. If you look back in our ancestral past, what really made us strong is that we really went out there and protected our group, and we connected to our group, and we shared with our group. Now what we're seeing in society is this intolerance of failure and weakness and vulnerability, and we conform to this model that in such a way that when we experience stress and we're an experience of fragility, we tend to introvert and remove ourselves from the people that can offer support, and that's the worst thing we could do. In contrast, if we connected and shared our experience and expressed our vulnerabilities and became much more connected to society and really asked for help and asked for support, it would be this biological shift, this powerful biological shift that leans heavily into the hormone and neurochemical known as oxytocin. And oxytocin can neutralize most of the adverse effects of the stress hormones and really has a positive effect on fear and uncertainty. The third step is this real big control piece. You know, we assume that we can't control the biological effects of stress, but we can. So normally what happens with a stress response is it's governed by something called a negative feedback loop. So when our stress hormone levels go up, what turns off the whole stress axis is the detection of these raised hormonal levels. And when we stress for long periods of time, the whole system becomes corrupted and we can't shut down. And I think we can all identify with that right now, that there's this inability to really wind down.
Absolutely.
It's just always on experience. So this is something that doesn't have to be. We have the power to shut it down. And we've got a system that exists in the body known as the vagus nerve. And the vagus nerve has the capacity to release a certain chemical called acetylcholine. And this molecule is responsible for slowing heart rate and dilating blood vessels and really creating a full organization or reorganization of our biological system. Simply put, you can shut stress down within 30 to 60 seconds from a biological standpoint. Now, the activities that will do that are deep breathing exercises, meditation, yoga, swimming, physiotherapy, reflexology, acupuncture, the list goes on. It's all of these therapeutic modalities, but it's something that you don't need to do extensively. 5-10 minutes will suffice in most instances. So I think what listeners really have to consider is that they have this control, they have this power. I talked about control earlier. This is one of those control elements where you can gain biological control despite the fact that you can't really manage events that are outside of you. The last step is what we all kind of reach to in terms of managing stress. And that last step is about looking after self. It's the exercise. It's the good nutrition. It's avoiding the sugars, avoiding too much coffee, limiting alcohol, getting outdoors. These are the things that are really going to change the equation. And the reason for this is because when we stress for prolonged periods of time, there are major structural changes to the brain, chemical changes within the brain and hormonal changes in the body that make us emotionally much more fragile, mentally much more compromised. We're not as clear and we're not as motivated. And then we also have this circumstantial situation where we feel physically weak and we feel physically drained. Now, if we have a solid routine where we're exercising 3-4 times a week, we're eating the right foods, it can offset so much of this corrupted metabolic influence that stress can have. And I'll just give you one simple example before I kind of land, where I conclude this, is that when we get stressed, there's a certain molecule in the brain known as brain-derived neurotrophic factor, which gets reduced in its production, and it's largely responsible for the integrity of the brain, the structure, the function, the connectivity, adaptability, cognition, everything. And there's a 40% reduction over a period of time. When we exercise, we're able to spike this molecule by 30 to 60%, so we can offset a lot of those negative effects. And it happens not just in this area, but in so many different areas.
Incredible. So there are, it's really a matter of setting out a game plan and making sure that it works for you, that it's sustainable, and that way we do have the ability to manage our stress. What kind of, we are basically out of time, but I've just been thinking about it as you've been talking, is some of us function better at a higher level of stress, and some of us are totally immobilized by stress. I would imagine that all of us has different stress levels where we perform and live at optimum.
Yeah, so we do have different stress tolerances, and it's largely linked to a molecule known as dopamine. So those individuals who produce adequate amounts of dopamine, metabolize it well, they can handle stress in the short term and they can handle stress in the long term. Then you've got a different set of individuals who have excessive dopamine, so it makes them really intelligent, really like clear and focused and very motivated. But when they get stressed, there's an excess of dopamine, because stress can be a dopamine trigger and is a dopamine trigger. And they battle in this context to metabolize this particular neurochemical, and it lends itself to anxiety and worry and exaggeration of the entire stress response. So that this is just one of those aspects. And then you've got individuals who underproduce dopamine a little bit within the context of either underproducing it or over-metabolizing it, so breaking it down too quickly. And when they get stressed, their whole body just goes into the perfect balance. So these are the people that really thrive under pressure. And we all know of those individuals who crumble under pressure, those individuals who thrive under pressure, and those individuals who can handle both sides of the continuum. And it is so individual. The one thing I just want to add, though, is that this relates and pertains to stress that we used to experience. It's not the COVID stress, where it's relentless and every sphere and aspect of our life is so profoundly impacted. Something that we're all grappling in various degrees and in various ways at the moment.
Absolutely, absolutely right. And name of Richard's new book is Stress Proof, The Game Plan. You can get it pretty much everywhere, and I would suggest that you do. It's good reading. It's great reading. In fact, the research is incredible, and I've certainly found it absolutely riveting. Richard Sutton, thank you for taking the time to speak to us. Keep doing the work that you are doing.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.